Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for June 1st. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me in somewhere not shaking in Tokyo and via cyberspace is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud?
I'm chilling is what's happening. How about you? How you doing?
I'm fine. You know, we're making it through all these earthquakes. They're small. You know, I keep telling people that California earthquakes really give you a ride and that these things are just... It's like somebody sitting on the hood of your car. It's not that bad.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about this week.
We do. On this week's show, we've got a chat with Anthony Saratelli of the Sabre Lions. We're going to talk about the first week of interleague play and answer listener questions. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right. On Thursday, I got a chance to go out to Tokyo Dome to do a game story, and in the process was able to speak to Anthony Saratelli. Now, we've been looking forward to seeing Anthony Saratelli for a couple of reasons. One is that his grandmother is from Fukuoka. I guess his grandmother lives in Fukuoka.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read that. I mean, I'd heard that. I think Wayne Grasek told me that early in the season, and I mean early in the year. And Jason Koskrie of the Japan Times did a very nice story on that, so I recommend you go and check out their website, and you can check out my story on Miles Mikolas, which is there. Don't expect to see the byline, though.
Okay.
And so anyway, Jason and I both talked to Mr. Saratelli. He took turns. He's a very gracious guy. As you can hear, he speaks well, and I say he speaks well in the sense that he conveys a message, but also without saying, you know, without being negative in the slightest. Even when it sounds like he might be negative, he isn't. So, you know, we've got people who are politicians who don't say anything, but he does a pretty good job of speaking to points and making points, but never but not being critical. It's quite a talent.
So you're saying he's got a future, you know, in government? In leadership.
Well, no, that would be kind of a waste of somebody with actual skills.
Hashtag high.
I mean, what, you go there and just, like, throw stuff away and whatnot and, you know, waste things and mess things up? Right. No, I think he's got a future in whatever he wants to do. So, anyway, he's an interesting player in the sense that he's a utility player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a utility player who runs well. And if you watch – now, I haven't seen him play defense, so I can't really speak to his defense.
Mm-hmm.
But he runs well. He used to be a very good base – he was a very good base stealer while he was in the minors with the Kansas City Royals. And he was also a very good on-base guy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he's almost like, you know, the person you'd expect. And he's versatile and he runs well. And he gets on base. So I'm thinking Kansas City Royals, that sounds about right. Okay, so anyway, let's hear what we had to say the other day. Okay, our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast is Anthony Saratelli of the Sabre Lions. And welcome to the podcast and welcome to Japan.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, it's always a pleasure. Now, you've just been called up to the first team. And you've had quite a slog to get through here. Now, you hurt your back in spring training.
That's right, yeah. I hurt my back pretty early, about 3 weeks into spring training. And spring training here is 2 months long, so it was kind of towards the beginning of spring training. And I thought that, you know, by the end of spring training, I would be ready. And it just didn't heal that quickly, and there was nothing I could do about that. We did the proper rest and treatment, and it just took a little longer. So now I'm healthy and ready to be back on the field.
Now, you said that... You wanted to be one of the guys who did everything and did it the right way.
Right.
And that kind of backfired a little bit on you? You overdid it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, overdid it for, I guess, the American style of baseball. You know, they were just doing their daily routines. I actually didn't do any of the extra stuff. And, you know, I guess I wasn't in Japanese baseball shape. And
okay.
But, you know, that's just an experience I have to know now for next year. Hopefully I get to come back and I'll know the situation. But unfortunately, that didn't work out for me in spring. But that's just one of those things you live and learn. So I'm healthy now, and I'm happy about that.
Now, a lot of the guys come over here, they say that
the experience of Japanese baseball, the way they approach the game, I say it's on a daily basis in terms of practice and routine, is a bit different. It's much less individualized and much more team oriented. Now, in terms of the amount of energy you put into practice and so on, was that a bit of an eye opener? I knew you knew about that before you came.
Right. Yeah, I knew that they do a lot more repetition than we do. I want to say at home, once we get past, it's not that you ever stop working on the fundamentals, but at a certain point, you know exactly what you need to work on. Mm-hmm. And here it seems like they just keep going with it. So not that that's a bad thing. They work extremely hard, and it's more than we do at home. That doesn't make it better or worse. It's just different. So it is an eye opener to see how hard they work and how into the game they are, even at the level of cheering the fans and the players. You know, like, it's just nonstop yelling and screaming. And at home, you know, we cheer, but we're not yelling to the extent these guys are. So it's just different all around. It's exciting to see, and it's definitely fun. There's no down moments here. They're here to play. They're here to win.
Which leads me to ask, do you recognize your Oenka, your cheering song?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I know it by now, and I'm only 5 games in, but it's pretty easy to hear. It's funny because, you know, my Saratelli, my nickname is Telly, and they say Terry here, so I love hearing it. It's great. It's nice to hear a whole cheering section cheer for just you.
That's got to be one of the high points of starting out here in baseball.
Yeah,
the first time you heard that, what was your response?
The first time I heard it was actually on the internet. Somebody tweeted it at me once they figured out what my song would be, and I sent it home right away. Hey, everyone, check this out. Because we don't have stuff like that at home. You know, you pick a song by a famous artist. You don't have your own song made for you. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the fans that... You know, and you're stuck with it the whole year, and then maybe next year you'll get a new one or something. But anyway, that is one of the special things we have going on here. And of course, another thing we have going on in Japan is all the different arm angles and deliveries and the hesitations and all that. How was that? Because in your game in the States, I was looking, you had a good command of the strike zone. Strike zone discipline was obviously a big part of your game. All those different flukes and flares. How have you been adjusting to that?
I'm still adjusting. I'd say they don't throw as many fastballs here.
Right.
So that's probably the biggest difference. The pauses and the deliveries and stuff, I actually don't mind. It gives me more time to hit. So, you know, some guys might have a problem with the timing of that. It's not the timing of the deliveries for me. It's just the timing of pitches in general.
Because,
like I said, they don't mix in as many fastballs. So. It's a lot more trying to hit off speed pitches. That's all. For now, I mean, I've only had 10 at bats up here, so I got to see. I have adjustments to make, and I'm sure I'll keep having to make adjustments because it's a different game.
Now, a lot of the guys who the strike zone command is a big part of their game sometimes struggle in Japan because of the quote-unquote foreigner strike zone.
Yeah,
but I haven't noticed that with your numbers. You look like you picked up here where you left off in AAA.
I haven't had a problem with it at all on the minor league side. I can only think of a couple times where I thought it was a little bit big, but overall, I really haven't experienced it being any bigger for me than anyone else. You know, if it's bigger, it's the same for everyone. I really haven't felt that they discriminate or whatever you want to call against the foreigners. I haven't seen that.
Okay, of course in America they don't miss strikes and balls.
No, of course not.
Okay, so now a couple of games into it with the first team, and how's that been?
It's very exciting. You know, everything I do now is a first, you know, up here for me. So that's all exciting. A hit, an RBI, a stolen base, anything is a first right now. So that, for me personally, it's very exciting. And then also on the team level, it's very exciting because, you know, we're trying to win a championship up here, whereas in the minor leagues, just like at home, you're trying to develop players. And winning is important, but it's not number one, you know. So that's just how it is. And then you try to win at the top level.
I feel like, to some extent, you've graduated.
I have. I have finally graduated and trying to win a major league championship. I'm very excited about that.
And you got a good team. These guys are playing well.
Yeah, we've been playing well, so I'm glad they did that before I got here, and hopefully I can help them continue that.
Now, it seems you play every position. What's your best position?
That's hard to say. I really have a hard time. The hardest question for me is not what's your best, but what's your favorite position, and I can never answer it. It's always, I just want to be in the lineup, so I don't care where I'm playing. If I'm on that lineup card, I'll play anywhere on the field.
How many different gloves do you carry?
I have only 4 with me on the road, but I probably have about 9 or 10 in my locker back at the stadium. So
just in case.
Yeah, usually backups. But I have an infield, first base, and outfield glove, and then usually a backup for each one. depending on it always varies. I have anywhere from 4 to 6 gloves at me at a time, probably.
And what's the best advice you've gotten about Japanese baseball this year?
From a player?
From a player or anybody with one of the teams.
Best advice. Best advice is to that I've gotten so far is to do your thing.
Okay.
Don't, and it kind of goes back to what we were saying before. I came here and tried to do what they did, and they're like, you know, we didn't bring you here to develop you. We brought you here because you knew how to play. Do your thing, and that's the best advice I got. And since then, it kind of turned around for me last month once I got healthy and just started doing my own routine. Not that I'm completely separate from the team, but when it comes to, you know, pre-batting routine or pre-game routine, not necessarily doing exactly what they do, making sure I stick to the things I know that makes me comfortable and ready to play.
Who gave you that advice?
I've got it from a couple different guys, actually, and it's usually through a translator. So, but yeah, that's probably been the best advice I've gotten.
Okay, well, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for your time, and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. I'm really looking forward to talking to you again and, you know, getting an update on how things are going.
Me too. I mean, obviously, I haven't talked to you yet, but I'll be looking forward to meeting you and speaking with you out on the field. It sounds like he's a really cerebral person, not just player. Person. And and you know, I have an affinity for this kind of player. You know, nothing's guaranteed. He's got to work hard. He'll bite your ankles if need be to try and win. And
cerebral involves ankle biting. What would you say about Rich's kids? You didn't think that one would come back to bite you somewhere?
It's coming back to bite me. Let's get out of that world.
Okay. So anyway, what did you take out of that, or what would you like to comment on?
Well, a few things. I mean, obviously, he sounds like a very confident guy, and it sounds like he also has the same impression of the spring/winter training that I have, which is it's too doggone long. And, you know, it's hard for a first-time or first-year import player to come here and look at all the things that the Japanese players are doing and try to work a routine out of that and stay healthy. Because they go all out, and they do it for so long. That it takes a lot out of him. And it seems that maybe it even impacted his hearing, because he said that his chant, his Oenka, his song, that they were saying Terry instead of Telly. And since there's no real R sound in Japanese, I'd like to meet those folks if they are saying Terry, because I haven't met anybody who really could. I think they're saying Telly, and it's just hard for him to hear it because he's just now getting accustomed to Japanese. But, you know, maybe perhaps next year he can work something in his contract where he doesn't have to show up on February 1st. Maybe he can get a delay, a two-week delay or something, so he doesn't have to come here and try to work himself in the shape like the Japanese players do. But I tell you, I really liked your question about advice. What's the advice that someone's giving you that's worked out best for him? Of course, he really didn't tell us anything we haven't heard, because, as you know, I always complain that they don't bring a young player over here, maybe like a AA player, and say, hey, look, we're going to help you develop, and we're going to put you on the first team for 2 or 3 years and hope that you can impact our team and help us win a championship. And then we'll allow you, if you want, to go back to the States and play if you've worked your way up to that. You know, they don't do the reverse. They always want a finished product. And so it's no surprise that someone said, hey, you do what you do. We didn't come over here. We didn't bring you over here to develop you. Well, of course not. You know, and
there have been exceptions
here and there. That's but in
a
general,
lot of exceptions in the Hiroshima Carp, since they do develop a lot of Dominican talent.
Right, and we've talked about those guys on the show at times, and we know that it does happen. It's just not common.
No, it's not. Basically, the advice, and actually, I could hear. I have in my mind several of the people who told him that, and I would start with probably with Jose Ortiz, the Lions, one of the Lions scouts.
Right.
I would then go to Takeshi Miyata, their international director, and then I would go with Hisanobu Watanabe, the senior director, who's very personable and gets along well with foreign players. So, and just before the interview, I had been hoping to ask Watanabe a question on an unrelated topic. Mm-hmm. And just as we were about to record, he walked right past me. So there goes that chance.
Yeah. Don't you hate that? We're sitting there, we're talking to the person we're there to talk to or doing an interview or something. And another person we want to talk to walks by and you don't have a chance to get him again. I hate when that happens.
Well, it does, but he likes to skedaddle when he sees me sometimes, because sometimes it's like he doesn't have the answer to the question.
Well, you ask difficult questions, yeah.
I do sometimes, ones that are probably nobody could answer, but, you know, sort of vague or historical questions sometimes, and this one was actually more pertinent, but... in any case, so yeah, that I think that advice is good, and I've heard this so many times, and I remember never forget Gail Hopkins saying the best advice he got was the same advice: be yourself. They don't care whether how many reps you do in training, as long as you produce on the field. They're not going to keep you if they like your spirit. They're only going to keep you if you do what they expect you to do in terms of production. So. In any case, I was thinking we were talking about that. That was sort of one of the intros. And I need to warm up for these. So we chat a little bit. And he told me that, you know, it was his back that got him. And he was swinging. You know, he's doing like his 30th, I don't know what, I think it was his 10th set of swings.
Uh-huh.
And he says, more than, you know, I was prepared, I was in shape. But I wasn't, essentially, he wasn't in Japanese player shape.
Right.
And I don't think his core was quite up to that. So.
Right, which is my point. Yeah. You might think you're in good condition and you're ready to go. And then you come here for the first time and you see all the work that the other guys are doing. And like he said, he was trying to keep up. Mm. No. You sit on the bench and watch that stuff, man.
Yes, I know. I know. I mean, it's almost like Japanese spring training, you know, when you go to an amusement park where they have a thrill ride or something, there's a little, you know, there's a line. It says, if you're below this line, if you're not taller than this line, you can't get on this ride. And they should say, you know, if you haven't done a Japanese spring training before, you are prohibited from doing X amount of activities.
Save yourself. Just walk away.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah. This is for your own good.
There's
we're protecting
other rides.
You.
There are other attractions.
Right. We've got the kiddie rides for you guys. I mean, it's nothing personal, but we don't want you to get hurt.
Exactly. And or something where you can sit down.
Yeah. And so this does happen. I mean, there are other issues. There's other discussions. And I thought, you know, he really showed his political skills.
Mm.
It's not better, it's not worse. But then, you know, he at the same time he's saying, you know, which is what everybody says, I can't say it's better, I can't say it's worse.
Yeah.
You know, and probably accurately so, because he hasn't had a chance to sort of sit back and evaluate it on the bigger picture. But also, I guess his other thing is that he's so excited to be here. He's such an enthusiastic person.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed it. It was a pleasure to talk to him. And now a couple of things that kind of interested me. Of course, I asked about the walks and because he drew a lot of walks, and whether the arm angles. I was surprised the arm angles didn't bother him, because they do bother a lot of players.
Yeah.
And the hesitations, nah. And I was reminded of former Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame shortstop Barry Larkin telling me about how he timed Hideo Nomo, which was he basically looked at him, and there's all these dekes and dives and turns and twists, and he says – He basically found his release point every time.
Right.
And says, now, basically, I let him go through all his gyrations, and as soon as that ball comes out, bam, there's my timing right there.
Right.
So I think he's good with that, and he's good. Maybe that's one of the things he's really good at. I don't know.
Well, you know, remember I told you about Randy Bass, and when he came mm-hmm. here saying that, you know, he feasted on off-speed pitches, and that was
sure.
that was something that he really excelled at. And mm-hmm. so it was good to hear Anthony say, hey, look – this gives me more time to hit, you know, all this stuff that they do. And then if they come out throwing off speed pitches, then it gives me more time to hit, which I found kind of interesting. Yeah.
I think that, and going back to the doing things that you're good at, all of a sudden, for some reason, and I know there's a reason and I'm going to the details, but there was a guy playing for Yokohama, I'm going to say 12 years ago or 11 years ago. And his name was John Zuber.
Mm hmm.
John Zuber was a big guy who was a big first baseman, I believe he was a left-handed hitting first baseman who had extremely high batting averages in the minors in the U.S. and he drew basket loads of walks. That's a, you know, it's a real great combination. But Masaaki Mori, who was very successful with the Seibu Lions, who was managing Yokohama Bay Stars at that time, basically looked at him on video and said, this guy can hit a lot of home runs in Japan. So essentially, they demanded that Zuber hit a lot of home runs. This is a guy who had never hit more than 9 home runs in a season, and all of those had come in, I think, single-A ball. And it was in one season. His norm was like 3. But he was also a guy who'd give you 430 on-base percentages. So
if he wasn't swinging for home runs.
Yeah. Basically, he hit the ball wherever, you know, he used the whole field, and he wasn't the slowest guy in the world, and he didn't swing at pitches out of the zone. So he was always on base. But basically, the Bay Star said, well, now you're not what we want, because he was doing what he was capable of, and he was extremely good at it. And the Bay Star said, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, we didn't bring you over here for that.
Really valuable player, and they kept saying, what's wrong with you? And to Mori's credit, Mori was, I think, quite good with pitchers, being a former catcher, and he was exceptionally good at using his roster and at being an in-game manager. But his talent judgment sometimes just killed him. So anyway, that was kind of interesting talk with Anthony Saratelli, and of course how they're going to use him. Basically, they've been using him at first base, which is where Ernesto Mejia plays.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting question.
Mejia
hadn't had a day off, or he hadn't had many days off all year, so it was a chance to give him a rest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, there was one thing, though, and I'm surprised you didn't smack him when he said this, and he's talking about the fact that the minor leagues are used. There's something you brought up earlier this year on the show.
Oh, we talked about it all the time.
The minor leagues are used to develop players, not necessarily win games, and that he was happy to be up on the first team and try to win. I'm just surprised you didn't jump on him on that one.
Well, I let him, you know, have.
You let him slide the first time. He's a newcomer.
Well, no, he's been there. I mean, he's been there. I haven't. But I think there is that too. In that, I think that I agree with him to that extent. That in the minors, every organization, of course, the teams are playing to win, but the organization ain't playing for you to win. The Mets don't care whether their, you know, AAA team in Las Vegas wins the championship. They care whether the guys play, and, you know, and they work on the skills they want them to work on. They, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's sort of like the colony. I mean, it's like the U.S. rooting for Guam.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about it. I can't remember what show it was this year, but you went off about it, and we understand.
Yeah, I go on about it. I never stop talking about it. How could you know? It's a constant with me. So
we understand your position. I'm just surprised that you let him off the hook there. I mean, you had a big fish.
Yeah,
there.
But I don't think what he's saying is wrong. I think it's what he's saying is accurate. So I was very happy that he, you know, he said, and I think the thing here that is important to me. Is he's all of a sudden he's coming to Japan and he's actually playing to win, completely unabashedly playing to win. There's none of this. We want to, you know, move you somewhere, or we want you to do that. You're playing this position because we're trying to win games.
Right.
Okay. Now, in many respects, the minor leagues before they became the minor leagues that we grew up with were those kinds of leagues where players, you know, where Babe Ruth played, and he didn't go to the, you know, he played for a couple of years in the minors because they had him there not to develop his skills as a pitcher, but so the minor league Baltimore Orioles could win games and sell tickets. That's why these guys are in Japan. So what you see in Japan now is a large degree what the minor leagues used to be like in America, you know, where they had fans who were all for them winning and not about, oh, I hope this guy does well in the majors, you know, and following them after they left their team. They were there, you know, we don't want them to leave because we want them to win here.
Right.
I wasn't going to smack him or criticize him. I think he's absolutely right. I mean, I think that's an accurate reflection of the mentality. Okay. So I was happy, you know, I'm happy for him. You know, I think this is a thing that a lot of the players who come to Japan really, this is something people don't talk about, but I think it is real, in the sense that if you're a foreign player coming here, you are graduating to top level baseball, where the only thing that matters is winning.
Well, speaking of winning, now the Lions today, and I want to talk about them. They won their first series in about five series.
Wow.
And that was because, first, I was obviously because they hit the ball well, and they came back from a four-run deficit. That was the first, that was the biggest deficit that they had turned around all season long, with the four-run deficit, and they beat the Tigers and obviously won the series. But I wanted to talk a little about the Lions, because I think there's a gap between the perception and the reality.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and the perception is that they're a big banging home run hitting team, that they're scoring a lot of runs, they're hitting really well, and you know, you look at what they're doing and their run production as of Sunday here at the end of Sunday's games, they have 212 runs for and they've given up 211. So they're only outscoring opponents by one run, and that's because they beat the Tigers 9-4 today. So but you look around, they don't really have this dominating offense that we probably think that they do. The home runs, again, SoftBank has, as a team, has 49 home runs. They're tied with Cebu,
right,
at the top.
Well,
the team batting average, 268 for the SoftBank Hawks, 260 for the Lions. So it's not like they're this big bashing offense that we expected them to be. They're doing enough and they're scoring enough to win games.
Okay.
Which is good. I mean, they're four games over 500, which is good. They're in third place. They're a little bit higher than I expected them to be at this point. But again, the only reason that I think that they're in third place is because Oryx is so bad, and Oryx was picked to be a contender, and they're so bad and so god awful that it's put the Lions in a third place spot. But if the Buffaloes were where we expected them to be, the Lions would be in fourth place. And I say we expected them to be. I think a lot of people had them in the top three in our...
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly because Cebu has won six of their eight games against Oryx. So that's they're most successful against Rockton and Oryx, as everybody is. But
get in line.
yep. So, where do I want to start with this? The Lions... I think they're not as good as their record shows.
I think I'm saying that exactly.
Oh, did I say that? That's not what I meant. I think they're 5-4. Yeah, I think they're about what their record shows. I think they're basically a better than 500 team. Now, what I like about, I'll tell you, I sort of did a little, you know, look at, let's have a look at the Lions, and I think their strength, well. The strength is their defense.
That's interesting. I was thinking their strength was their run producers at the top of the lineup.
Well, I mean that, yes. I mean they have those guys. I think the offense is underproducing right now. And there's no question about that. And I'll tell you why. Is basically the Lions are really good at getting on base, but they haven't really gotten on base this year.
Hmm.
Okay. I think the pitching's adequate. I think the back of the bullpen I like.
I don't even think it's adequate.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. I think if their pitching is about as good as it is, and they keep hitting, they get on base and they do the things they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be really good. Right now, their offense is really not good because they're not getting on base.
Yeah. Well,
they're fourth in the league in runs. I'm going to run down the line here and let you go after it after that.
Okay.
Is that okay?
All right.
Okay. So basically they're really good at hitting home runs. And you said, oh, they're tied with SoftBank. But SoftBank remade their park this year.
Well, I understand.
So it's a lot easier to hit home runs if you're playing for the Hawks than it is for the Lions.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to call the beat writer and ask him to count the basket home runs, the ones that are in that little terrace thing, because I think somebody's keeping track of them.
John's going to file a basket case or something. Okay, now let's go. Okay, so we've got that part. Now, part of the context with the Lions is that they faced the toughest pitching in the Pacific League this year. Now, I see them as being a 500, a little better than 500, but not a lot better. So, yeah, are they really good? No. What are they good at? they're very good at reaching base when the ball's in play. They're really good at controlling the running game for opposing runners. Nobody's as good as they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're the second best team in the Pacific League at turning ground ball double plays. They're the second best team in the league at turning batted balls into outs.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a very good outfield defense, which is really good because they've got a really good fly ball pitching team. They've got 9 outfield assists, which is second most in the PL. They've got 8 sacrifice flies, which is tied for the fewest in the PL. Now, what are they bad at? And quite a few things. One is they strike out a ton.
That's what I was going to bring up.
They don't strike anybody out. Now, here's where
those were going to be my points. Stop stealing my arguments.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay, now the pitching is adequate, and I say that because I think they can get by. Actually, well, I think they can get by, and I think they will get by. I've liked what I've seen for the most part. The problem is I see inconsistency more than you know, lack of quality. I think Kuo Chun-Lin is going to get better as the season goes on.
My nickname for him is Status.
Status?
Status Quo.
Oh. and mine was Quid Pro.
Well, see, that doesn't even make sense.
What? Quid Pro Quo?
It's too long.
He's Chinese. He's got to have 3 names.
Well, I like
okay.
Status.
That doesn't even sound Chinese, man. Okay. Anyway, so let's see. What else are they? They're bad at giving up home runs. They're bad at striking out batters. They're bad, and this is the key one. They give up a lot of walks. So, is their pitching adequate? I'm going to go with their pitching is below average and probably not quite there. Can their pitching get better? Yes. I like Kikuchi. He's had one kind of off game, but he's been pretty good, and I like the stuff. I like his pitches, and I think he's going to be better. I think we're seeing the Kikuchi we saw before he went. Teacher, I hurt my elbow, and it's the same injury I had a couple of years ago, and I felt it before the game. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gone out and pitched.
Well,
so,
you know, you need to let me get in here once in a while because you're going through all these points, and I had counterpoints, and now I forgot what you said. It's been so long. Plus, you just half of my argument. But I'm with you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm with you. I don't think their pitching is adequate. And in fact, Kikuchi, you say Kikuchi is one of the reasons I don't think it's been that good is because this is a guy you really can't count on. And yes, just like you said, he got injured before and didn't say anything and ended up being a real serious injury. But since that time, he really hasn't been an adequate starter. He's been below average. And
well,
he
since
just,
that time this year, he's been quite good, I thought.
He's been good, and I shouldn't say been good. He's been okay, but you know, he just won a game, I think, on Saturday, finally.
Yeah, but
I know that wins and losses are not – it's not what I count. He's pitched well deep into some games, but – you know, if he's going to be that guy, if he's going to help you, because their bullpen is not great. Their bullpen ERA, I think this was Friday when I looked up there, it was almost 4.
The bullpen, the last two the guys ER, are good.
Yeah,
the last two guys are good.
The ERA of the starters is almost 4. So you put that together.
Well, look at the ERA of the starters in the Pacific League. You know whose starters aren't around 4? The Rockton Eagles. Everybody else is around 4.
Around 4 or over 3.5? I mean, it depends
on
where you're rounding
it off. Under 3.5. Basically, everybody's around 3.7, 3.8, 3.9 in that range, except the Eagles, who are around 3.4.
Which is really
and this
weird.
This is through Saturday.
Yeah, it's weird partially because they play in a pitcher's park, sort of, and they don't...
Who plays in a pitcher's park?
The Eagles.
We were talking about the Lions.
Well,
that's
no,
why
you're talking about the Eagles and how their ERA. But anyway, let's get back on track here. You say their defense is good. I say
their defense is very good.
Yeah.
It's not quite as good as the Hawks. It's up there. I think the Hawks and the Buffaloes and the Eagles are and the Lions are the best. I think the Lions are really good.
Yeah, I'm thinking in spots it's really good, and in other spots it's not. I mean,
well, I'm telling you, as a whole, it's good.
As a whole, but
they got weak spots. Everybody's got weak spots.
I got the weak spots. I understand that. And then you didn't talk about the fact that they're below the league average in stolen bases, and because
you needed to talk at that point.
They also grounded to a lot of double plays, and next to last in strikeouts for their pitchers, and mm-hmm. by far they lead the league in strikeouts as batters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do they have staying power?
Yeah,
I think they do.
I think the hitting is a lot better than we're seeing.
But if they're giving Fumiya Nishiguchi starts at Tokyo Dome, and isn't this the place where he couldn't win for years, for almost a decade or something?
Come on. It's the past, John. I know, but why? See,
I'm just saying,
okay, well, like,
first of all, throwing him out there tells us that they have problems in their pitching, that they're turning to him anyway. But doing it in a place where he's notoriously bad.
Can you sound, when did you become Hideki Kuriyama? I want to pitch him against this team on this day when the moon's full.
No, I'm not saying on this team against this team on this day, but
you become Haruki Ihara.
Put him in a place where we know that he's bad. Not necessarily bad, he just doesn't win. So, I mean, notoriously he doesn't win. So what's the point? I don't know. I think they have the staying power because they're going to have offense. They're not going to forget how to hit. But they're not going to change as we go through the season. I don't think they're going to get better at not striking out, and I don't think their pitchers are going to start striking guys out. And I think that's going to catch up with them in the second half.
Well, there's a few I'm not certain. I disagree. I think the whole bit of let's not throw Nishiguchi because it's Tokyo Dome is silly. That's Haruki Ihara logic. I'm not buying it.
They didn't win the game, did they?
Yeah, but he
you don't have to
well.
Buy it.
Yeah, but
it depends on how you define well.
He threw good pitches.
He didn't get knocked out early on, but he eventually got knocked out and they lost the game.
Well, he did give up. Yeah, he made a couple of bad pitches, but I mean, by and large, his command was excellent. He was throwing very good pitches, and his control was fairly good. So, I was pretty pleased with what he was doing.
Well, that by and large is didn't win the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know I'm looking at the end result, but I was thinking at the beginning of the game that, you know, isn't this the place that – isn't this the house of horrors for this guy? But I don't want to get fixated on this.
Okay. Well, stop getting fixated on it then. I mean, that's the easy way to fix that. But, okay.
Yeah,
let's see. What else would I have to mention? Not too much. I think, I was going to mention the base stealers, that they're basically the worst base stealing team in the Pacific League. Of course, on the other side, nobody can steal bases against him, so yeah, that's kind of a wash.
Sumitani is really good behind the plate.
I like – there's a lot of things I do like about them. I think – and, one thing I do like is that their defense is good. And you can say, they've got holes in the defense. But what holes are we speaking of? Because I'm curious.
I'm thinking the corner infield spot.
Nakamura's.
I'm thinking right field on occasion because they don't have a consistent – I shouldn't say consistent. I mean, Kimura, we saw what he did today, but I don't like him in it. Yeah, he had a ball go in his glove and out and behind him. I don't even know how you do that. he's not a great defensive player, but I mean, I'm not saying that they're terrible. I'm just saying that it's not where I would like to see it if I was the manager of the team. How's that?
No, I think that's accurate. Now, I think Nakamura is really good third baseman. I think he's basically Japan's equivalent of whatever that guy. What is that? The Mushu Panda or whatever his name is.
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda. Yeah. So he's that. He's really good. I mean, he's not as good as that.
He's good. He's got good hands. So balls.
He does, and
he's
very quick for a guy who wears that size of waist with that size of a waistband. But of course, the issue is and I think when I think of that team and I think, well, where could they be worse? I think towards the end of the season, you have to be concerned about his ability to stay quick
and stay healthy.
Yeah,
because
of his size.
Knee,
so that's an issue. But as far as other things go, I like I think the middle infield play is very good right now.
Yeah.
I think the center field is great. Sumitani's terrific. Mejia, I think, is getting a little bit by bit a little better. better with his feet. You know, they're never going to be big for a guy his size. And as I've said before, he's not a whiz on ground balls, but he's really good on fly balls. I mean, really good. He's very quick. Okay. As long as the ball isn't anywhere near his feet, that's when trouble happens.
Okay. All right. So we both see him doing okay.
I think so. I see them a team that could easily be in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think anybody's going to win unless they're playing in Fukuoka.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about Interleague. We'll make a smooth, seamless transition into Interleague play. And, you know, I love it. I love this time of year. And, you know, it's been six games. Mm-hmm. And you look up at the Interleague standings, and who do we see at the top? The Carp, tied with the Tigers and the Marines and the Hawks. The Hawks are the other team. So four teams at 4-2. It looked like for a while that the Eagles weren't going to win any games because they got swept in at Koshien by the Tigers. And a couple of milestones we had happen. Tatsunori Hara reached his 900th managerial victory on Tuesday, and that was an 11-1 rout of the Lions with his nephew tossing the gem. So that was good for him. And that really must have been a really nice feeling to have a family member out there helping you win that milestone game. Although neither one of them really got into it. They never really talked about that aspect so much, which I guess they're trying to be professional.
Yeah, well,
we can appreciate.
They're getting paid for that, so I can appreciate that.
I think
a couple of things have been interesting in the Interleague. Obviously, the sweeping the Buffaloes was kind of, you know, it's nice to see it when they do it because they're not really the team that should be that bad in Interleague, except they have been. You know, and this is. The reason why the Carp are bad is like the reason you don't like Nishiguchi pitching in Tokyo Dome. You know, it's because they've been bad for so long. We don't really know why they've been bad.
Yeah, and they were more than 10 games under 500 in Interleague against Oryx up to now, up to this year. So,
well, Oryx has been one of the better teams in Interleague, to be fair. So, yeah, and they were great games. I mean, they were great games, and of course, playing Oryx, you have to always ask: does it really count? I mean, do you deserve to win when you play Oryx? Sometimes, I mean, it's like the I'm not trying to be mean. I like the work. I like Oryx as a team. There's nothing I dislike about Oryx. It's just like they're just snake bit this year.
It's just right.
Of course,
now,
this was the battle of the two snake bit teams, so that had some interest level.
Yeah, right now they couldn't kill themselves if they threw themselves off a bridge right now. It just they're just a mess.
Are you saying they should try? Try to fly.
Somebody should try to do something. They're banging their heads into the wall, but the Eagles did actually win a series. They beat the Giants 2 out of 3 at home, and this kid Taishi Nakagawa, he's 25, and he and Taishi, they had the same first name, a different kanji, but Taishi Ota of the Giants are born within a day of each other, and we've been waiting for Ota to actually emerge as an everyday player at some point. And I just assumed that one day that the Giants would trade him for something that they needed, and then he would go and play someplace and be a star. But he's never really been able to crack their lineup on a regular basis. And this kid Nakagawa is finally coming around, although you said he had hit well in the minors before.
Well, here's the thing is they both hit well in the minors. I think I misspoke when I said Ota never did anything anywhere. No, is actually... He did. I was impressed with his minor league numbers to a pretty good degree. I mean, they were good enough. They were good enough that he should have been in the first team. But the Giants, for some reason, and you know the oddity of all this is that the Giants are one of those teams, as I often say, are one of the teams in Japan that give players repeated opportunities to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they just keep bringing them up and letting them play, and you know if it doesn't work out, they bring them up again. And eventually it clicks. You know, eventually they get enough at bats and enough experience, and there's enough patience and there for them to click. And Ota is one of these guys who hasn't. And it's almost like they didn't really give him enough. He needed more.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So he was there, and Nakagawa was doing the same in Rakuten, except Rakuten really wasn't one of those teams. Rakuten was one of those teams where if you disappoint us early, we're never going to quite believe in you again.
Yeah, see ya, buddy.
So they pretty much buried him down there in the minors until, I guess, they had an emergency, till everybody was hurt and they needed a first baseman. And this guy had been tooling along and doing quite a good job beating up on Eastern League pitching. He finally got a job, and he's playing regularly, and he's mashing pretty good.
Yep. So he did well today. He had a walk-off home run in the 10th inning, and they beat the Giants 2 out of 3, which is good because they had gotten swept in their first series. So, and then, you know, obviously I picked the I know you didn't play in the game last week, but I picked the Marines to win Interleague, and they had a good series against the Bay Stars. They won 2 out of 3, and they're at 4-2 as well. And we expect the Giants to just compete. I was expecting Yoshiyuki Kame to just hit some home run and win a game, and I'm sure he'll do it maybe at some point in the Interleague because he does well. Of course, Nakamura Takeya hit 3 home runs in 2 days for the Lions, and yep. He's the all-time home run leader in Interleague play, as I recall. And yep. For the Tigers, Shintaro Fujinami had mm-hmm. he tied his career high with 13 strikeouts, and this was a Wednesday game against Rakuten. He pitched 10 innings, only allowed 4 hits.
Right.
He's got a scoreless streak of about 26 innings now. So and his 70 strikeouts overall were tied for the NPB league at that time, and he was pretty much awesome. And I think he's turned things around. It seemed to be the moment that Randy Messenger had his situation with the team, and when he was sent down to the minors, that Fujinami kind of stepped up. And I saw him pinpointing pitches. I saw him setting up hitters and dialing it up when he needed. I felt like I was watching a young Darvish.
He's the same body types, essentially.
Yeah.
And they've got essentially the same stuff, you know, wide arsenal of stuff and pretty good heat. So it's an interesting comparison. The other thing about Fujinami is that he's out of this clan. He's out of this baseball, you know, we didn't used to think of it as a baseball factory, but Osaka Toyin High School, and yeah. This is... We were talking a lot about it on Twitter this past week.
I did see that.
And the reason for that is Toshio Mori's from there. Tomio Mori, the Cebu Lions, is from there. And so is Hideto Asamura of the Lions. So is Takeya Nakamura of the Lions. So is another, the Lions' backup catcher, Okada. He's from there. Sho Nakata's from there. And Fujinami's from there. So it's like... It's like they got a little thing going on. They could, you know, they could probably field a pretty good
team.
Japan national team from guys who graduated from. Unfortunately, that means they might want to invite Tsuyoshi Nishioka, but you know, well, he's played well for Japan.
We know your feelings about him.
All right. I'm trying to be positive.
And congratulations go out to Kazuo Matsui. He scored his 1,000th career run on Thursday, and he also recently stole base number 350 in Japan. So I'm just wondering how you think he should be viewed. I think obviously he already has his 2,000 hits combined in the States and Japan, but he's, I think, less than 50 hits away from getting to 2,000 in Japan as well. So he's really putting together quite a run here.
I think in his career he's gonna be up there in that class with Tatsunami, Kazuyoshi.
Mm.
You know, they're similar quality players, more power, but he played in an era when, you know, they were juicing the balls and more every year, and we saw what happened when he went to the majors. And I don't want to hold it against him. You know how his major league career started; it finished well.
Mm-hmm.
He proved to be quite a useful player in the majors, but as usual, injuries take their toll. But he's come back, and he's it took him a couple of years to find his feet and to reinvent himself. And I think pretty highly. I think he's been a very productive player, both for the Lions. He was an MVP caliber player for several years. I think in the years leading up to his leaving Japan, he was one of the he and Ichiro Suzuki and Hideki Matsui were almost neck and neck in terms of who's going to be the most valuable player this year.
Mm.
So he was up there with guys who are Hall of Fame calibers. He didn't have quite the mid-career staying power as they did. He went to the majors and he didn't maintain as much of his skill. He got booed out of New York, essentially. So I think that's going to hurt him in comparison to those guys. But mm-hmm. if you compare him, you know, to the next group of guys, you know, Tadahito Iguchi, you know, another player of that caliber.
Right.
I think he's gonna compare pretty favorably.
Okay. All right. Now I want to play your game really quickly because we got to get to the questions and talk about the performers of the month in the PL. I think it's going to be obviously between two guys. I had Lee Daho in there, but I think he kind of dropped off. So it's going to be Yuki Yanagita of the Hawks or Ikuhiro Kiyota of the Marines. And I'm just going to have to say with the impression that Kiyota has left, I think today was the last day.
I
think
so,
he's going to take it.
So you know what? I'm going to say sorry, Charlie, because no, you know, and I'll tell you why, because when you bat 436,
yeah,
you know, no one's going to give it to somebody else.
Just because, even, and I think it's simply because Kiyota, just his on base percentage, and they don't put that number on there. But he wants so much. I'm going to say he gets it though. I'm going to say they're going to look past the batting average. They're going to look at everything that he did and how he actually just uplifted.
He walked so much. He walked 9 times. Kiyota walked 9 times.
Well, yeah, but you think about it now. They're walking. They're trying to get him out the other times. I mean, he didn't make many outs.
He
didn't make many
outs. He had a 462 on base percentage. And Lee had a 506. Are you kidding me?
What did Yanagita have?
Not nearly as good as either. So, Yanagita, they're all basically the same, sort of on different levels. And it's like Lee's the A-plus level, and, you know, he gets honors. He's A-plus with honors. Kyoto's A-plus, and Yanagita's an A.
All right.
And all those three guys had months where they deserved to be the monthly MVP.
So who gets it?
Lee.
All right.
Because they don't care whether you can play defense or not.
Yeah, well, I'm sticking with Kiyota even if he loses it, because I think he just deserves it for the credit.
Because they look at the average first, and if he added, what did Kiyota do today, by the way? Oh, he did. He was 1-for-5. So, okay. So, yeah, they're not going to take a guy hits 446. The chances that the idiots who vote on this award are going to give it to somebody who hit 400 with 20 home runs is about zero.
Hashtag. Okay. Hi.
Even if he plays shortstop and he drew 100 walks and scored 100 runs, they'll be going like, oh, 446, he's the best player.
Oh, talk about your vitriol. All right, Central League.
I got where that came from.
I'm sure you do.
Oh, baby.
I don't want to tap into that. Central League, Ryosuke Hirata of the Chunichi Dragons, Yoshitomo Tsugo of the Bay Stars, and Jose Lopez of the Bay Stars. Who you got?
I have got Tsugo. Again, I mean, just overall, just the best hitter in the league, and you know, and he's got the average to go with it. You know, the problem with these things are you can be the best hitter, but if your average isn't among the best, forget 390 in May through the 30th. I don't have through the 31st, but and everything else, they might, you know, they could go with Takahiro Arai. 20 RBIs. They could go with Hector. Well, they couldn't go with Hector Luna because it exists. But yeah, no, I think it's basically Yoshitomo Tsugu.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Hirata hit 390, but he got hurt at the end of the month and didn't play and got deactivated.
Well,
that's probably going to knock him out. So I think it's Tsugu. Yeah, all right. So as for the pitchers, Yudai Ono of the Chunichi Dragons and I guess Shintaro Fujinami of the Tigers. Maybe even an outside chance for Tomoyuki Sugano?
Yeah, he had the numbers. But, you know, well... Yeah, it's always you know, what's a little difficult with the pitchers is guys who, you know, because they look at so much of the winning records. So almost I think they're going to go with Ohno instead of Sugano, even though, you know, last year we had the great case where Shohei Ohtani went 2-0 with a 0.6 ERA, and he got no decisions in two starts in which he allowed a run in eight innings, you know. So
he wasn't perfect. So get out.
No, well, he didn't win more than two games.
Right.
So they look so much at the winning record that it's really hard. So I'm going to throw basically three candidates out there. Now I look basically for starting pitchers. I look for guys who win more than two games and have an ERA under 2.5. The three guys who I think are the best candidates to win, although I like Sugano, I think they're going to go with a guy either who won four games, Yudi Ohno, the 2.39 ERA, or a guy who only pitched three games, but he won them all with a 1.71 ERA, and that would be Daisuke Miura.
Or
choice number three, which probably won't happen because they only use relievers when no starters win no good starters win more than two games.
Uh-huh.
And that would be Yamasaki of the Bay Stars, who saved 10 with a 0.64 ERA and won another game.
Yeah.
So it is really hard for me to say, and I think Sugano is a great choice as well. But you know, he only was 3-1 when we've got a guy who's 4-1. So
okay,
so I don't know those three. I can't guess.
All right,
Pacific League, easy, no brainer.
It's Brandon Dixon of the
Brandon Orange. Dixon, yeah. 5-0, 0.26 ERA.
Hands down. If he doesn't get it, something's wrong.
If he doesn't get it, then I'm going on strike.
Okay, you heard it here first. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, we have three questions, but we're only going to have time for one. So I guess I'm going to take the one that is first on the list here, and that's from NPB Reddit. And he says, okay. Trivia question for the next podcast. And he said, leadoff home runs aren't rare, but has there ever been a leadoff inside the park home run in NPB? Hashtag high heat. And so, of course, I went searching on the internet, and I found one in 1958, another in 67, one in 1992. And in 1998, Kazuo Matsui had one. And in, also in 1998, Tomochika Tsuboi had one for the Hanshin Tigers. And then there was another one in 2000, but the most famous one, and I remember this one right off the bat, was last year on May 6th, and this was Yuki Nishi on the mound for the Buffaloes at Kyocera Dome.
Deja vu!
And Takashi Ogino of the Lotte Marines hit the very first pitch of the game out toward Naotaka Takehara out in left field. And Takehara was probably not expecting a ball to come to him on the first pitch. He looks up and he sees this ball, and he tripped, and he was literally standing on his head when the ball sailed over his feet. And we talked about it on the show, and we just laughed and laughed because I don't know how you can get into the position that he got into. The pictures are worth more than 1,000 words if you can find them on the internet. This was one of the funniest moments you ever see.
I'm sure he doesn't probably watch that one over and over again.
I'm sure Nishi does. Every time they go out for, you know,
Yakiniku is the staple of Japanese baseball players.
We heard, yeah. So I bet that he's never going to live this one down. You got to find that on the internet and take a look at it. It's pretty funny. So thank you, NPB Reddit. And Stuart, we'll get to your question next week. And Coaster Freak, we will talk about the Dragons and why they are competitive next week. We've got to go. The producer is really giving me the eye.
Well, that's their job.
All right. Send questions via email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #highheat @ JBW Podcast, and you can leave us a message on our Facebook page. And don't forget, you can also send MP3 questions. MP3 questions are awesome. We love them. All right, guys, enjoy interleague play as much as I am. I'm especially when the home teams are Pacific League teams, and you can get all six games on some kind of device.
That's heaven.
So enjoy your baseball.
Have a nice week.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.